The democracy movements in North Africa and across the Middle East have had implications politically in the United States. They certainly have bedeviled and complicated the foreign policy of the Obama administration, but they've produced a bit of history in the Palestinian community. The movement of Hamas, which controls Gaza, actually won an election in Gaza, and the Palestinian Authority, Fatah, which is based in the West Bank, have actually signed a unity pact in Cairo, ending a four-year split. Joining us now is the New York Times, Ethan Bronner, Jerusalem correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. How significant is this unity agreement, and how surprising is it, do you think, Ethan?
Well, I mean, it was extremely surprising a week ago when it was announced, and it is quite significant. I mean, I think the problem is now implementing it, but the feeling in the room that I just left was of a surprising amount of brotherly love. There was a lot of hugging and kissing between people who had not spoken except pretty harsh words for 4 years, and there was a growing sense that their common problem is Israel, not one another, and they must unite against Israel. So the question is, what is that going to mean, and how is the Palestinian Authority going to move forward? And all of that is still to be worked out.
How did they parse, Ethan Bronner, the idea that these are equal partners in this government versus a majority or a minority partner?
Well, they didn't. They don't have to decide that now. They've agreed that they're going to have elections within a year, and between now and then, they're going to set up a group of technocrats simply to set up those elections, rebuild Gaza. And then there's another committee that's going to discuss security, and another committee that's going to describe how the PLO, the Palestine Liberation Organization, is going to be structured in the future. That was a big demand of Hamas, which has been left out of the PLO from its first day.
And the fact that this signing took place in Cairo, does the Egyptian government, such as it is, and we don't really quite understand what that is at this point, want to position itself as having brokered this deal, or are they simply offering a nice location to sign an agreement?
No, it very much wants to present itself as having brokered the deal, and in truth, it to some extent had brokered the deal. It was a very important change when President Mubarak was driven from power in Egypt that the incoming group decided that it was going to change policy of President Mubarak, and part of that change was a change toward the Palestinian movement and toward Hamas in Gaza, and it has said that it is going to open the border with Gaza, the Rafah border with Gaza, and it has declared that unity between Fatah and Hamas and the Palestinian people is a central goal of Egyptian diplomacy today. So there are three or four things that happened. One is the Egyptian government change. Two, Hamas is running into trouble in Syria, where it is based, because of the uprising in Syria. And three, Abu Mazen, President Abbas of the Palestinian Authority, has felt unable to make a deal with Israel through the Americans. So he has been pushed toward them, they have been pushed toward him, and now they've signed. Now we have to see if they can make a reality out of it.
How does this play in Israel? As Egypt's embrace of Hamas, or Egypt saying, Hamas, get on the bus is leaving?
It's something between those two. It was saying that Hamas is a legitimate movement. It is talking about possibly letting Hamas open an interest office in Cairo. And it is also saying, so in recognition of that and our opening of the border, you guys got to get on the bus.
New York Times' Ethan Bronner, Jerusalem correspondent, live in Cairo, where an agreement between Hamas and Fatah was signed today. Thanks.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.